Good. I mean, we've done our thing all week, but it's so good to be able to start the week in the house of the Lord with brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise the Lord to set the pace. Hallelujah. May the Lord direct our footsteps every step of the way this week. Praise God. May He guide us with our eye and may His will be done. Can you say amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans this morning, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5. It's good to have Dee with us this morning. God bless you, Dee. Thank you for being with us. You're only a visitor once. God bless you. Romans chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. And I'm not going to so much preach this morning, probably as teach. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And I want to use for a subject this morning, justified by faith. Justified by faith. And let us pray. And Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray today that the Holy Spirit would guide and lead us into truth, that that truth will make us free. Father, we ask for the anointing of your Spirit upon this message, upon me, and upon the people. Help me to deliver your word and to do no disservice to it. And Father, help us to receive your word into our hearts, and may it bring forth good fruit. What you have purposed your word to accomplish this morning, may it be accomplished. In the name of Jesus. Father, may we understand our position in Jesus and who we are in Christ. May we understand the results of Calvary, the benefits of the cross. And may our faith be anchored in Jesus and His finished work at the cross. And Father, we thank you for this today. We thank you for your word, Father. We approach it as the word of God and not as the word of man. And Father, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. I believe within this text that we read this morning, that there are a number of things that are revealed about God that I just want to bring forth to the forefront before I begin into the heart of the message this morning. But I believe that in verse 1, it reveals to us that God is a God of righteousness. Can you say amen? And that He imparts His righteousness to those that believe in His Son. Secondly, I believe that God is the God of peace as well. If you want to have peace with God, He is the God of peace, and that peace also comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I believe it is also revealed that God is the God of grace. Can you say amen? That is His nature, that is His heart, and He wants to extend His goodness, His grace, His mercy, and His favor to those that will believe upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's also the God of hope. Hallelujah. Those that believe in Jesus and have had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and have been born of the Spirit, we are not a hopeless people, but we are a people of expectation, knowing who Jesus is, assured of our eternal redemption, knowing of our future, that it is secure, our present makes sense, and our past is forgiven. He's the God of hope. Fifthly, He's the God of glory. Can you say amen? And lastly, he is the God of love, for God is love. And those that know God and those that love God love one another. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul dealing with the subject of justification. And we could preach multiple sermons this morning just on this subject, that it is so deep. But the Bible says clearly in chapter 5 of verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. The Bible says, I want you to know and recognize and look at that word being. That is where you're standing today, that you are not condemned by God, but you have been saved by God, forgiven by God, justified by God. You are no longer declared to be unrighteous, but now you have been declared to be righteous by the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ today. Understand, the devil may come and bring up your past and whisper in your ear and point out all the wrong and all the sin and all the transgression of the past, but I want you to know that Jesus in heaven assures us that God declares us to be forgiven and to be saved and to be righteous this morning. We stand in this great justification by faith. Can you say amen? Justification, to be justified by faith, is a legal work of God to the sinner. You and I and the world today, you and I at one time were at enmity with God. And the world today that are outside of Christ is at enmity with God. They are contrary to God. There is ill will and there is even anger towards God. There is a war going on between God and unredeemed man. You used to be in that war. I used to be in that war. There was a point in time in Sam Myers' life that I was unredeemed and I was at war and at enmity against God. But one day in a cold December night in Winlock, Washington, the enmity was removed, the unrighteousness was removed, the sin was removed, and God wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there it is recorded in heaven to this day, and I stand not condemned by God, but I stand justified by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. And I want you to know God feels the enmity far more than the sinner does, because God is the one that has been offended. God's not the victim, or God is not the villain. We are. We are, and man stands to be in his need to be saved. And there is only one remedy. There is only one manner. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Can you say amen? There was a time that we stood condemned before God. Now, by faith in Christ, we now stand justified by God. You see, this is what justification is. It's a legal term. It's a legal. It means that the judge of the world and the judge of the ages. Let me rephrase that. We who are guilty before God. When Paul wrote and recorded Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, he proved that the Gentile world was guilty before God. He proved that the Jewish world was guilty before God. He proved that the entirety of the world stands guilty before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we are no longer guilty. And this is what justification is. God no longer declares you to be guilty. God has declared you to be innocent. That's justification. You say, preacher, you don't know what I did. Listen, it's what Christ has done that matters. And what Christ did was he bore the judgment. He was smitten of God. smitten, despised of men, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Can you say amen? And because of Calvary, because of the Lamb of God that was sacrificed that day in the spring and 2,000 years ago, that if any man will dare to trust him, dare to believe him, dare to hold on to him, dare to look to him, that the guilt can be totally removed. And that's not the only thing that's removed. Justification is the great exchange. Whereas one moment you're guilty, the next moment you're innocent. Charges have been dropped. Every sin that you've committed has been removed. It has been stricken from the record. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Every sin, and you know what you've done. You know the things that you used to do. But I want you to know God does not know what you used to do. God does not have record of it. God has moved it in the sea of forgetfulness. God has stricken it from the record. There is no record of your sins. You are justified by faith. Now, also in justification, he takes away our unrighteousness. You're not hearing me this morning. I don't know, maybe I was the worst rotten sinner in this house. But God took away Sam Myers' unrighteousness. And then, that's not all. That's great in itself. But then, God gave me something. He took away something and he gave me something. He took away something from you and gave you something. He took away your unrighteousness. It's no longer credited to your account. If you were to look on the debit side of the account in the books that are recorded in heaven, the debit side is blank through the blood of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's no record of it. It's gone. Well, why is it gone, preacher? Because Jesus paid the debt in full through death on the cross, death at Calvary. All right. Justification is also that he gave you something. He gave you the righteousness of Christ. So in heaven, right now in the books, where your name is recorded, there's a credit side. And it's stamped not with your righteousness, because the righteousness that you and I possess is a filthy righteousness. It's a righteousness that does not meet the standard of God's righteousness. So God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his love, God in his power, saw fit to be able to provide for us where our unrighteousness can be removed and his righteousness can be given, because we don't have what we need, but he has what we need, and Jesus provides it through death at the cross. This is good stuff. Glory to God. If we can't get excited about Jesus and what he's done for us, and that he no longer is there ready to condemn us, but he wants to forgive us and cleanse us and deliver us, that should make the worst of sinners, the most vilest of sinners, shout for joy that there is hope. There is hope, and there is hope. And Jesus is the only hope in this world. Don't look to Washington. Don't look to Olympia, but look to the throne of grace. Look to Jesus Christ. He offers eternal redemption. He offers eternal life. He offers eternal salvation. If you will come to Jesus, he will not condemn you. He will forgive you. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. I need to calm down. I said I was going to teach. I can't help it. I'm going to teach this morning, and it's not my fault. It's His fault. But it's not really His fault. It's His glory. He gets the glory. So we are being justified. We are our current standing before God. If you received Christ by faith, your standing before God is as a child of God and not as an enemy of God. Amen. Can you say amen? All because, not because of you, not because of the preacher, not because of the priest, not because of the pope, not because of the church, not because of religion, not even because of the law, not because of works, but because of Jesus. Amen. Because of Jesus alone and what He did at Calvary. You see, what He did at the cross wasn't just something that's insignificant. That is the whole meal. That is the whole deal today. That none of this could have ever taken place without death of an innocent victim. And that innocent victim was Jesus. Now let me say this. The Bible says that Jesus was born, conceived and born of a virgin. Say, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. But it's impossible, preacher. With man it is, but not with God. Why is it such a hard thing to believe that God could write such a miracle? Praise God. When He was brought into the world, He was not corrupted with sin as you and I are when we are conceived and born. He had no earthly father because it's through the Father that the nature of sin is passed on to the children. Therefore, God in His wisdom and in His knowledge bypassed that through the virgin birth. So now we have a sacrifice. We have Jesus came in the world, born into the world to die. Not for His crimes, not for His sins or His transgressions, but for ours. So now we have this perfect child. We always talk about the perfect child. But this really was the perfect child. I mean, Mary had it easy with Jesus. Think of it. When He grew, though, He was tempted. He was still tempted in all points as you and I are. But yet, never sinned. He kept the law of God, the moral law of God, perfectly. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Kept it absolutely perfect. And He did it for us. He kept the law for us. He kept the law on our behalf. Can you say amen? All right. Which is why He is righteous. And that why He can give righteousness. Now, before we came to Christ, we were looked at by God, condemned. The Scripture says that those who did not even believe in Jesus are already condemned. There's condemnation over their head, judgment on them. God looked at us as lawbreakers, because that's what we are, and that's what we were. We broke the law. If you were to look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt honor their father and their mother. If you were to look at that, and look at it and compare it to your life, you would see that you've broken probably every commandment. Therefore, you're a lawbreaker. That is man's problem. That is man's dilemma. That is man's issue. We're a lawbreaker. But Jesus is the law keeper. And he kept the law perfectly for me. Therefore, when you believe in Jesus, when you have accepted, I wish this church house was full right now because we need to hear. If we believe in Jesus, God no longer looks at us as lawbreakers. Am I making sense this morning? But God now looks at you through his son as a law keeper. And again, it's not because of us. It's not because we have a beautiful sanctuary or a big church or money in the bank, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary through death, offering himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, we're now law keepers. That's how God looks at us. Okay. So Jesus kept the law in our place and for us. But that's not the end of it. That still does not satisfy the justice and judgment of God. But he kept the law perfectly. He was sinless and innocent and undefiled. Now he is qualified to die for man. And it would have to be a man to die for a man. But yet, in all of the world, there was no man that was sinless that could die for sinful man. So therefore, God wrote a plan before the foundation of the world was even laid that a perfect man would die for sinful man. And it would be God who would become the perfect man to die for sinful man. Man, this is good. This is where your eternity is all hinged on. Okay. Well, preacher, if Jesus kept the law in our place, isn't that enough? No, it isn't. Because sin has a penalty to it. And that penalty is death. Does that make sense? When God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt die. And that meant spiritual death. And then it also eventually would mean physical death. And then if we die on our sins, it means eternal death. So Jesus would pay the penalty for our sins. He would pay the penalty for the broken law through death. He just couldn't confess it. He had to die for it. The penalty had to be fulfilled. The penalty had to be poured out. And if he had not died on the cross, each and every one of us would be facing eternal death. But because he tasted death for each and every one of us, now we can look forward to eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be justified by faith in Christ. Oh, we need to know. This is a legal work that he performed in order to be able to extend forgiveness and mercy to the sinner, and even power and sanctification to the saint, through not my work or your work, but through his work, and that work was death on the cross. Can you say amen? The prophets had predicted of this for thousands of years, and it was fulfilled in the man Jesus Christ. All right. So the judgment of God, my sin, I'm going to say it this way, my sins were judged at Calvary. Can you say amen? Now, as long as your faith remains in Christ, you're still justified. And we also now live and carry out our life the same way we received eternal life, which is by faith in Jesus. The just shall live by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus and what he did at Calvary, what he did at the tomb, and what he did in the resurrection. My faith is anchored and stays in Jesus. It does not move to who I am. It does not move to what I'm doing. It must remain in Jesus and his finished work at the cross. It must be rooted there, grounded there, anchored there. Can you say amen? My victory, my salvation, and my victory over sin is not accomplished by my works. It's accomplished by his work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then we stand being justified, forgiven, declared to be righteous, declared to be a law keeper and not a lawbreaker. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we have this now, the sacrifice of God now has become the great high priest of God. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know why he's seated? You see, under the Levitical order, and the sons of Aaron served in the priesthood, they were always standing, always sacrificing, always working in the tabernacle or the temple. But Jesus, after he died, he's not standing. He's seated. Well, why? Because it's done. Salvation is finished. It's a complete work. Now the ball is in your court. Will you receive what Jesus offers?
Amen.
Will the sinner receive what Jesus offers? The sinner is offered to have the gift of life. But he must come on God's terms. And this is a stumbling block to the Jew and the Gentile. This is a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile. But yet it is so true. Because the only way to receive this great justification, the only way to receive, the only way to have your unrighteousness removed and have righteousness giving, the only way to have your standing changed from a lawbreaker to a lawkeeper, is that you must believe upon the only begotten Son of God and accept by faith personally what he did for you at the cross.
Amen.
And believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's the term. That's God's terms. Man's problem is he's trying to get to God through his own terms and his own ways. And he will remain condemned and will never be justified. Because only what Jesus did at the cross can justify the sinner. Now, let me take it one more step. I hadn't planned to preach any of this. It's not even in my notes. Some of it is. So you're standing as a justified before God. Which should give us assurance of our salvation. But Satan, we are also in a warfare. Satan, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan's warfare against us is to destroy the very faith and confidence and trust that we have placed in Jesus for our justification. So therefore, we must fight the good fight of faith. Can you say amen? Satan will try to get you to doubt God, to blame God, to lose confidence in God and his Son. But we are to make sure that our faith remains in him no matter what we face, no matter what battles we go through, what adversity we go through. We must keep our faith in Jesus and him crucified. Can you say amen? All right. Can you give me a few more minutes? Now, there's results for this justification by faith. Can you say amen?
Amen?
First result is that we have peace. We have peace. We have peace with God. Can you say amen? This is one of the most beautiful results of justification. This means that there's no more war with God. You're not at war with God anymore. We have come to the peace table, surrendered our lives, surrendered our sins, and we surrendered our eternity to God based on His terms. He won the victory for us. We come to Him as a defeated foe, and we are going to surrender everything to Jesus. And that's what it means to make peace with God. The old timers used to say, make your peace with God. That's what they were talking about. Secondly, we have access. The Bible says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. No longer is the door shut. No longer is it closed, but it now has been opened. At one time, we were closed off to the grace of God, but now the door has been opened, and now we can walk in, and we now have access to the grace of God. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Can you say amen? So today, God has opened the door. He has given us His peace and given us access to Him. Can you say amen? And this grace of God, that's what we have access to, and it's by faith. We have access to the throne of grace. His throne is a throne of grace. We have access to it. We have access to the goodness of God. This goodness of God saves us and instructs us and empowers us. Thirdly, the Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. So not only do we have peace and we have access, but we stand. We're standing today. Can you say amen? That means that we are planted. We are to remain in grace. We have access to it. We have access to the grace of God, and we must remain in the grace of God. We have access to the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and we remain in the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Right, Satan will, so many times we're told we have access by faith, but we stay in it by works. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural. That's not truth. Well, aren't we supposed to produce good works? Yes. But not as a cause of salvation, but as a result of salvation. And when I hear people, this troubles me, when I hear people say, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't need to go to church to be saved, but if you are saved, you will go to church. Something's wrong if you don't want to be in church. Something's wrong if you don't want to keep the commandments. Something's wrong if you don't love your brother or sister in Christ. Something's wrong in your relationship with God. So we are to stand. We are to access it by faith, and we remain in the grace by faith in Jesus, by trust in Jesus, by confidence in Jesus. I'm confident today that what Christ did at Calvary is sufficient to save, to justify, to sanctify, and one day to glorify me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Fourthly, we rejoice. We rejoice in hope. Can you say amen? That means to show great joy or delight. We delight ourselves in the Lord. That's what it means to rejoice. Why are we rejoicing? Because we have hope. We have hope. I said we have hope. Our future is guaranteed, respecting the great things that God will do, yet not knowing when they will happen. We don't know when they'll happen, but we know they will happen. And so we have expectation. And we have confidence. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All of this brings glory to Him. God gets the glory and the praise. You know why we raise our hands? Because we are justified by faith. You know why we give God praise? Because we are justified by faith. You know why we sing unto the Lord, making melody from our heart unto Him in spiritual songs and hymns? Because we are justified by faith. Because we have peace with God. Can you say amen? We stand in this grace and we have access to this grace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, in verse 3 it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So we have peace with God. We have peace. We have grace. We stand, we rejoice, and we glory. Glory in what? In tribulations. How many here, you were really happy yesterday when you went through a trial? I mean, when we go through problems, we are supposed to be down and out. But the Bible says we should be up and standing. Because we got to know something. Tribulation it means a pressing together, a pressure in our lives, an oppression, affliction, distress that takes place. But yet the Bible tells us in everything, give God thanks. And that even means in the tribulation and in the bad times, we are still to give God thanks. Now, we're to give thanks not for the tribulation, but in the tribulation. The Apostle Paul found something very, very powerful here. He said that it was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he asked God, take this thing away from me. Take this tribulation away from me. Take this pressure in my life away from me. Take this hardship away from me. But God said, no, but I'll give you my grace because it is sufficient. And Paul recognized something there that I think we all need to learn today. That the reason we glory in tribulations, because when we are weak, he is strong. Can you say amen? Are you with me this morning? So verse 3 says that we are to glory in tribulations knowing something. Not only do we not glory, we know something. And this is the something today. We know that tribulation works patience. Can you say amen? There's a reason why God permits certain things to take place, because he wants to develop the character of God in our hearts and lives. And it does not develop by laying hands on us or casting out devils, but it is developed through tribulation and trial, through hardships and difficult times and adverse moments in our lives. So James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, and let patience have her perfect work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That word worketh, patience. Worketh literally means to accomplish or to achieve something inside of you. And what he's wanting to achieve inside of you is a steadfastness and an endurance in us to not only run the race, but to finish the race. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
All right. Then patience brings experience. That's something else we know. See, justification produces all this. And experience is a spiritual state which has shown itself proof under trial. The result of a trial, the approvedness. You see, our faith needs to be tested to make sure and to determine if it's a true faith, if it's genuine. And if it is, it will stand the test. You see, God already knows how the test is going to come out. But the test is to reveal something to us that we are not where we should be. Maybe we're not believing as we should. And the test will expose that. And all of this is carried out for the benefit of us. Can you say amen? And then experience brings hope. When one is put to the test and finds that the grace of God is sufficient for all things, it causes us to causes hope to spring up in our soul. And when we face the next test, we know by experience the grace of God is sufficient. And then we go through the next adversity, we know that the grace of God is sufficient. We may even fail God from time to time, and we will still know by experience that the grace of God is sufficient. And then lastly, we love. It says here, and hope makes not ashamed, which means hope will not disappoint us. Because the love of God, this isn't just any type of love. This isn't the type of love that the world gives, which is a shallow love. It's a love that says, I love you if you love me. If you hate me, I hate you. That's the love of the world. The love of God says, even though you're my enemy, I love you and I will bless you and I will do good unto you. The love of God says that I love you in spite of your faults. And I look beyond your faults and I see your needs. And this love has been literally internalized inside of us by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. It has been shed abroad in our hearts. And as I looked into this last night, I realized in one of the commentary notes that I read that the Greek rendering literally means a continuous action of the Holy Spirit, that it's not just a one-time thing, but the Holy Spirit is constantly shedding inside of us, internalizing inside of us the love of God, and the church needs the love of God. And this love cannot be carried out without the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. And I want to close with this thought. I know I've preached a long time. But being justified by faith means that the Holy Spirit is given unto us. He now resides in us. He now lives inside of us. Can you say amen? And He wants to do a work in us. But we must stand in that justification. And understand this, if you fail God today or tomorrow, as long as your faith stays in Jesus, you're justified. You're forgiven. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Church, we have been blessed to be declared righteous before God with, not with our righteousness, but with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, how do I get it? By faith in Christ. So that's too easy. Jesus made it easy for you at Calvary. Because yes, if it was us, it would be too hard. But with Jesus, it's so easy. Would you stand with me, please? This great doctrine of justification. Many times the greatest battle for the child of God is the battle of condemnation, of being condemned. And that's not coming from God, that's coming from the evil one. And so know today that if your faith is in Jesus, you are not condemned, you are justified, just as if you never sinned. It never happened. It never took place. That's how great our God is. That's how great our Savior is. That's how great His work of eternal redemption through death at Calvary is. Church, let's get our faith back in Calvary, back in the blood of Jesus. Look to the cross. Look to Calvary. Look to Jesus. And you will be made right with God. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us through your word what Jesus has done at Calvary on our behalf. We thank you today for the results of justification, that we have peace with you and we have access to your grace, and that we can stand in your grace because we have been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this today. We thank you for the reality of Christ, the reality of our salvation, the reality of being born again. We thank you for the reality of justification, Father. We thank you that you have taken away our unrighteousness and given us the righteousness of Jesus, and that he is our righteousness, he is our wisdom, and he is our sanctification, and he is our redemption. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus did this all for us because we were unable to do it for us. Father, we give you praise. May we glory in you. And when trials come, may we glory in you. When trials come, may we magnify you. When trials come, may we praise you. Because we know that the trial is not in vain, but it's there to produce your character in our hearts. And Father, keep shedding that love inside of us. Keep shedding that love by your Spirit. Over and over and over, may we keep falling in love with Jesus. Over and over and over, may Jesus be our first love. May we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would also love our enemies. Lord, do that work inside of us. Now that the guilt and the condemnation has been removed, the sin has gone, now, Father, we ask you to do that work inside of us. Because we've been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this today, Lord. Father, may we take this word and go with it and hold on to it, and that you would bring it to remembrance. And we walk in victory. We walk in faith. We walk in victory today, Father, that we be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Father, thank you for this love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Father, we thank you for this today. And Father, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Now give the Lord a hand of praise and glory. Leave this place knowing that you have been justified by faith and not by works. You have been justified by faith. God bless you. Be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday night. We'll see you Wednesday morning. We'll see you Friday night, Saturday night, and next Sunday morning. God bless you. Come for revival. Pray for revival.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.